of being brave is not always that you feel brave. You're just confident in the Lord.
I believe that anyone that says they never got scared when the bullets started flying, they probably never was in the range of the bullets because I've been doing it for years. I will say I don't get scared anymore when they shoot at me because I can't hear. We was in a battle not long ago, and one of my soldiers said, Sam, you'd either stop testing God or we're going to quit. We're going to leave you. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, they were shooting at you, and you just kept walking. I said, I couldn't hear him. I literally need a hearing aid, okay? My ears are all messed up from getting bombed in South Sudan. If I heard the bullets, I would have got down.
You don't got to tell anybody that. You could just let everybody think you're John Wayne, man. That's kind of cool.
Should have said they couldn't hit me.
Oh, my goodness, guys. That is my good friend, Brother Sam Childers, who is the real machine gun preacher. And I bless him and call him blessed. And friends, I want to say this, that if you didn't see that, because we did two different episodes, the first service on Sunday, I did an interview with him, and the second one, he got up and preached. Both of them are loaded up right now at odx.tv. Well, blessing and peace on y'all. I'm Troy Brewer. Welcome, guys, to episode number 68 of The Pulse, where it's all about us having our ear on the heartbeat of King Jesus himself. And here's what I got. I've got great news. I got great news. Jesus Christ is alive and well, and he ain't scared. Right on. One of the things I was talking to Brother Sam about was we were talking about being brave and how much we need that today within the body of Jesus, that our leaders need to be brave. And if you look at where there's revivals taking place all throughout America, where you see all these big time baptisms, where you see praise and worship, it's people who are brave. It's people who are brave. And I think that we weeded out a lot of the limp-wristed woke leadership in the body of Jesus through COVID. And we're scared. We're scared. We're scared. Well, that ain't me. And that ain't you. And I'm happy that you're here today. Guys, you're going to love today's episode because I'm going to be fielding questions and answers today. And we got so many questions yesterday, and I don't know if I have any answers, but it'll be fun talking out stuff. And so we'll see what happens. But I started on Monday with a brand new, I have a brand new podcast that I started on Monday that is called Altered State. And it's all about spiritual warfare. I'm in the midst of writing a book. I just signed a contract with Destiny Image for my next three books. And one of them is Altered State. One of them is all about spiritual warfare. So I thought, you know what would be fun? As I'm writing this book, we'll do the podcast and we'll use all the notes to put together the book. And plus, a lot of this is going to come from your questions. So you're going to have a part in me writing a book that will be read by certainly millions of people.
Millions
sure. of people all throughout the planet Earth. Joining me here today is my good friend Shay. How are you, Miss Shay Wilbur?
I'm good, Pastor. I'm excited for round two of the live Q&A because we were having such a hard time even just figuring out which questions to ask you. We got so many good questions yesterday.
That's because you got ADD worse than me.
Well, I know I do.
You really do.
I'm like, oh, this one's good. Oh, no, that one's good. Nope. And people have already started submitting some today. So good. We've got people are excited. They are ready. And I will try to keep my ADD under control.
I can see Miss Storm is on here right now. Mm-hmm. Hello, marvelous. Glad to see you here, she says. Yes, darling. Vanessa is here from Big Time Dallas, Texas. And I got to say this, I'm going to be in Dallas, Texas at the Win the Storm Conference mm-hmm. in Big Time Dallas, Texas. And I'm going to be there with Charlie Kirk and my good friend, Josie Wells Parks. His name is literally Josie Wells.
That's awesome.
Yeah, his last name is Parks, but... But anyway, he's been a friend of mine for a long, long time. It's Pastor Gloria Gillespie's grandson.
Yeah.
And he's just awesome. He's on Fox News all the time. He's a great guy. And he's a world changer. So he's got a myriad of people speaking there. And it is literally like it started off as a roofers convention. So he's got this multi-gazillionaire roofing company. But he's so much more than that. So he invites people like me to come in there and just speak. And like, I'm going to be speaking on Friday about 30 years of rescuing children and how I've stayed in the fight when it was impossible to stay in. And that applies to any industry, mm-hmm. any ministry whatsoever. And I'm going to be talking about the importance of the supernatural principles of resilience and also being an overcomer, him that overcometh, right on, which means Him that is the last man standing. Right on.
That's so good.
You gotta be the last man standing, man. You still gotta be in the game.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Right on. Whenever God shows up. Mm-hmm. And here I am. I'm older and I'm grayer. And I'm so wrinkled up, I look like a daggum Shar Pei. But I
no,
can tell you this.
You
oh,
don't.
I do.
No.
Listen, oh my goodness.
This is a war map. Y'all see all those wrinkles? That's a war map.
I had those until about a week ago.
Yeah. Yeah,
right. Now they're gone.
Wow. Just
magically gone, see?
The sorcery of Botox abounds.
At least I'm honest about it.
No, I love that. I love that. There's nothing wrong with putting toxic poison in your forehead.
Oh my God.
I think that's called, in the book of Revelation, that's called the mark of the beast.
No, no.
The hand in the forehead.
That's what it's called.
Yeah. So look, I did Botox one time. You know
did
about
you
all
really?
That? Yeah, man. My daughter's taught me into it.
Oh, no.
Dad, your face is falling so far down. Oh, and this will help you, and you're on TV, and you have a responsibility. And I'm like, okay, well, juice me up. And they're like, gang, 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 gang. And everybody thought I was mad and pissed off for 6 months.
Oh, you got the angry brows. Yeah. Because sometimes you can get
that's
the, like,
what everybody
crazy
thought.
Brows.
Everybody wow. thought I was so hacked. And they're like, Pastor Troy, why are you so? I'm like, listen, I'm the happiest I've ever been in my whole life right now. Listen, that's great. God is here. Jesus is among us. Yeah, praise God. Shout that out to anybody. Like, you're, what's wrong
Why
with you?
Why are you mad?
Yeah, I'm very expressive, and yeah. I have to be expressive, or else everybody thinks I'm mad or I'm on drugs or something.
That's so hilarious. Oh, well. We love you just as you are.
Okay, so
just
that's going to be on Friday.
Yes.
And then on Friday night,
yes.
So we got a big weekend. So tomorrow I'm going to be at Trinity Broadcasting Network, and I'm filming with Rabbi Jason Sobel. And I've been instructed I cannot wear my hat. Now, Rabbi gets to wear his hat, and it ain't mm-hmm. near as cool
but
of a
But it is his show.
It's mine.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
so,
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I mean, he is the guy that's paying millions of dollars for the production of things. So
yeah.
I think I'll just go hatless, which means I probably need Botox.
My gosh.
I mean, we could probably make it happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you think so, man?
Probably. But it takes a couple days to take effect.
So look, I got all this. So this is like really weird. Look how loose my scalp is. It's like fake. It's like,
well, you know what? Can you set the record straight, Pastor? Because sometimes we get comments saying mm-hmm. stuff about your toupee. I'm like,
yeah.
That's his real hair.
No, that's my hair, you knuckleheads. All you guys.
Setting the record straight.
He wears a toupee. God. Number one, if I was bald-headed, I would wear a toupee.
Oh, my gosh.
And I would. And I would say, I'd tell everybody, y'all can kiss my grits. And then outside of that, that's none of your business if I want to wear a toupee or if anybody wants to wear a toupee. Now, look, we can all privately make fun of people, but it's not nice to publicly do that. Do you agree? I mean, that's the spirit of the Lord. We're not supposed to publicly do that. I don't think so. But I would say this. No, that is my real hair, and mm-hmm. I hear people all the time. And here's what I want to say to all my haters. You're just jealous. You're just jealous. Listen, what is that? The whole new thing. I've got good genes. Oh, I got good genes. Yes, I do.
Well, yeah.
I got good hair genes. Hallelujah. Right on. And like Rebecca, like, you guys won't ever let me wear button shirts because you make me button it all the way to the top because I got mm-hmm. this cool Burt Reynolds patch. It sticks out like this. And I want a big gold medallion as well. I want
we
the Miami look.
We can do that.
I want the Miami look.
The Miami look.
But they don't do that in Johnson County.
Yeah,
so
but
I'm
that's
not
really a Glen Rose thing.
No, that's not really.
You have your own style.
But somebody said I could do a man bun. Okay, listen, no.
You know, blonde.
No. You could do a man bun.
I'm not going to. Listen.
Let's
and I'm also
try.
Not going to wear a dress. I'm just going to put it out there. I'm not in the mood to wear a dress or do a man bun.
You
so,
will.
Yeah, so if I did a man bun, it would be like,
no,
you know,
Pastor,
like,
the man bun's in the back.
It'd be like,
no, in the back.
Right,
yeah, in the back.
Next episode of The Pulse.
Yeah, like
in
a
the
big
back,
old man
in the
bun.
Back, in the back.
Ain't no way, man. Ain't no way. I go out to Redemption Ranch and go out there and go work cows, and one of the fellow cowboys out there would just beat me to death with their boot. But no, I cannot do
oh
a man bun.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm not doing no man bun.
You could pull it off.
So one of the things, getting in now, seriously, folks, there is something really serious going on. We're in the midst of a rescue right now, right this second.
Praise
in,
the Lord.
In Mexico awesome. City. And
thank you, God.
Pastor Gary McGibbon, he wants me to do a man bun.
Oh,
let me
say,
Gary McGibbon will beat you like a redheaded stepchild.
He's laughing.
If you had a man bun?
Oh, well, he's from Belfast. He does a church, Victory Belfast. I preach there. This year, had a blast with him, just loved him. Was like, okay, this is my brother from another mother. And
so fun.
He literally inside his church, he has a big fighting ring.
That's crazy.
I mean, like right after church, right?
Yeah, he was a big time UFC fighter. He's a big time champion fighter. And so, like, man, when they get done with church, so all the guys, they just take off their shirts and get in there and beat the snot out of each other. And I was like, I love this church. and then there's not a pansy dude that goes to that church, man. I mean, they have real men in that church, and I loved them. And they are so brave, and they have such a great outreach. Their church is literally, they took over a Hell's Angels motorcycle club.
Wow.
And that's Victory Belfast. And you guys ought to look him up. You ought to look up Pastor Gary McGibbon, because he also does research on angels and demons and Nephilim and all kinds of crazy stuff. He's made documentaries. He's just a different cat. Dude, it's 111, 111.
111.
111 right now, Central Standard Time. So here's what I'm going to do. Before we get off into the show and I start answering questions and talking to you about some stuff, let's get a little bit serious here, because there's a little girl whose life is on the line that we are literally about to rescue.
Wow.
And there's a rescue operation that's going down. I don't want to say anything more about that until after it all goes on. But the people who are doing the rescue, their lives are on the line.
Wow.
And we've been neck deep in this thing today. Mm-hmm. And Pastor Swanamy called me this morning. Oh my God, we have another. It's going to be so awesome. And I'm like, okay, where is she? Oh no, she's being trafficked. She's in the hands of a trafficker. And I have no idea her age. I don't know her name. I don't know her story any more than that. But to say this, that the government of her nation said, hey, we're looking at doing this thing today, shutting this thing down today, making the arrest, and this girl is going to need a place to stay. Can y'all take in another kid? Wow. And so can we pray about that?
Let's do it.
And, you know what, man? I want to ask you to do something.
Okay.
Right on. Mm-hmm. So since you come from Mexico, your people do. You're not a Mexican, but your people are. Mm-hmm. And you are fluent in Spanish.
Yes,
your
sir.
Pastors are your parents are pastors. And why don't you lead us in a prayer in Spanish?
Yes, sir.
You want to do that?
Yeah, let's do that.
Come on, guys, and listen all over the world, whether you speak Spanish or not. Yep. Come on, let's believe God for the safety and the well-being of this girl. Let's also believe in the safety and the well-being of the rescuers that are coming in. And can we do that?
Let's do it.
Let's go. Here we go. Jesus.
Come gracias, on, Señor, por este día.
We
gracias
love you, Lord.
Que podemos venir ante
we
tu
love
presencia
you, Jesus.
Y tenemos
praise
acceso
you, Lord.
A ti, Señor.
So
gracias,
good.
Señor, por darnos la oportunidad
you,
de poder rescatar a niños y a niñas. Gracias por Pastor Troy. Gracias por Pastor Liliana, Señor, que podemos hacer esto para ti y solamente para tu reino, Señor. Gracias, Señor, te damos honra y gloria porque solo tú puedes abrir las puertas. No hay nadie más. Tú eres el que abre las puertas y cierra las puertas, Señor. Señor, oramos, Señor, por las personas que están en México, Señor. Sí, Salmo 91, Señor, sobre todas las personas que están tomando acción, hasta la persona que está manejando el carro, Señor, el que está guiando, Señor. Señor, oramos por las personas, Señor, que están atendiendo a esa niña, a ese niño, Señor. Señor, nosotros creemos que tú eres, Señor, poderoso, tú eres un Dios de milagros, tú eres un Dios de lo imposible. Y, Señor, sabemos que eso es solamente el principio, Señor. Por favor, cubre las personas que están tomando acción en este momento, Señor. Creemos, esto es para tu nombre, para tu reino. En el nombre de Jesús. Amén.
En el nombre de Jesús.
En el nombre de Jesús.
Amén.
Amen.
I was going to say Psalm 91, and then you said it, so it was perfect for me to say Salmos 91.
Hallelujah. So, thank you for that prayer.
Thank you for letting me do that.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Hey, Pastor, we have a really cool testimony, too, from, I just wanted to share it just while we're in this moment. Kristen Strange commented, she said, I don't have a question, but I wanted to let you know that my daughter has been an addict for a long time. On Sunday night, she sat down and watched the second service with Sam, and today she's in rehab.
Oh,
wow.
Man, that's beautiful.
That's awesome. Praise she commented here. So,
hey,
man,
I want to pray
Kristen,
for her. What is, does
so
she say
Kristen,
her?
It's Kristen's daughter, Kristen
okay,
Strange.
Okay, so Father God, I want to lift up Kristen. I'm talking about Kristen. I lift up this mama and all of these mama's prayers, and I pray, Lord God, sir, that every dream she's ever had for her little girl to be set free, God, that this would be the season of that. And I pray, Father, in the name of King Jesus, God, that she would indeed see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I pray, God, for the people in the rehab, God, that they would have incredible favor upon her little girl. And I pray, Lord Jesus, sir, that this would be a tremendous trophy of grace and a testimony of how awesome you are, King Jesus, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Awesome. So Friday, I'm going to be, I'm doing that. Mm-hmm. I'm filming with Rabbi Jason Sobel on Thursday. Then on Friday, I'm going to be at the Win the Storm Conference. Mm-hmm. Charlie Kirk is also going to be a speaker there.
No big deal.
Yeah. Wow.
Which is cool.
Charlie Kirk.
Friday night, I'm coming back into this studio because we are doing, I'm going to be a panelist on with my good friend Gene Bailey in Flashpoint. Yep. And so I'm going to be on that on Friday night. And I can't believe that Gene hadn't had enough of me, man. I actually love Gene. Gene's a good guy. He's a really good guy. I've had dinner with him a couple of times. Now, he doesn't believe in forks. He eats with his hands, and that's kind of awkward. But past that, Gene Bailey is a really good man, and he's a good dude. And so I'm going to be on his show on Friday night, so you guys join me. And again, we'll get all the links, and we'll put it on ODX. So if you can't find it, just simply go to ODX.TV, and you'll be able to find it. Yeah. And then we're also having all-night prayer here on Friday night.
24-hour prayer.
24-hour prayer. So you'll be able to find that on the ODX.
Yep.
And you'll be able to find that on the Open Door Media pages. And that will be on Friday night. On Saturday, what am I doing on Saturday?
What are you doing?
I'm doing something big on Saturday. I can't remember what it is.
Let me look.
I'll have to think about it. So anyway, on Saturday, I'm doing something. And then on Sunday, I'm going to be here with Leanna. And I'm starting a brand new sermon series. It's called This I Know.
Right. Yeah, on. That's going to be good. I can't wait for that.
Can you give us a little?
Well, there's some things that you just got to know. Okay. Yeah. So what this comes from is our youth pastor, Pastor Ryan, who is a stud. He's just such a great youth pastor.
Awesome.
I mean, we got such a great team here at Open Door Church. They started, this is something that Pastor Candace said and Pastor Ryan said. They gather all the kids together. They have hundreds and hundreds of kids in children's church and also to the students in the youth ministry. And none of them knew the song, Jesus Loves Me.
Mm.
It's not a part of our culture anymore.
Really?
They didn't know the song.
I do.
So they're like, well, okay, right on. Yeah. But you have a Jesus culture in your home. Mm-hmm. These kids do not come from a Jesus culture, right?
Yeah.
And your kids know Jewish songs.
I know.
And your
kids
celebrate Shabbat on Friday night. You're the exception. I mean, hey, man, thank you, by the way, for being such a good mama girl.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, my God, you're a good mom. You're a ridiculous mom.
I have really good kids, so I'm obsessed with them.
I've been around them. They're not that good. Whatever.
Your kids are good.
So I know they're awesome. But no, your kids are – but you're such a good mama.
Thank you.
Way to go and pulling that off. You're such a good mama. You're next level mama girl. Next level. I mean, you guys.
Pray for the third one so my husband can become.
I want everybody.
Is there going to be a third one on the way?
Breaking news. You say that out loud? Breaking news.
You need to edit that part.
There'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth if it's not a girl.
There'll be wailing. If it's not a girl, then we're just going to dedicate them to the church. Go with Pastor Troy and learn.
There you go. I'll take him.
Yeah, okay.
I'll take him. My goodness.
Yeah, we want to go.
Oh my gosh! Well, I'll tell you this. We decided we wanted one more, and then we had twins.
Holy Señor.
Yeah, we was like, hey, we can have one more. Come on, let's do this one more time. Let's just have one more kid, and then we had twins. I literally fainted. I mean, I literally fainted when we were. I couldn't breathe. I thought I was having a heart attack, and then I literally fainted. You can ask Leanna. I passed out.
That's hilarious.
It's the only time in my entire life I've ever passed out that I wasn't knocked out or something. I would just went, and I just fell over.
No.
No, true story. I hurt myself on the floor. Hilarious. You guys need to ask Leanna about that.
Okay.
So yeah. So anyway. Yeah, well, such as I have, I give unto you twins.
Oh, wow.
Twins in Jesus'
name. Wow.
I don't think I've ever not wanted you to pray for me. Out of all the times.
Well,
it runs in Josh's family.
That daggum prophet, Howard Richardson, that weirdo prophet in Dallas, he freaking prophesied that to us. My God, the Holy Ghost says that y'all are going to have twins. I went, that was not the Lord, brother. That's what I told him that from his whole church. And I told him, if you keep prophesying pregnancies to me and my bride, I'm not coming to your church anymore. Actually, I did. I told him that. So I'm done.
Oh, my gosh.
That's none of your business. I don't need a prophecy from you concerning that. So anyway. You guys ready to do this?
Yeah, we're ready. Yeah.
I think I see a good place to start because I know you have a story about it.
Okay.
And it's one that just came in. Mm-hmm. So this is a question from Rachel Backstrom. Have you ever seen or have any strange stories about creatures in or underwater that goes against the Western narrative?
Ooh. Oh,
you guys.
We're
you're
off.
A troublemaker. You guys are troublemakers. All right, so let's get off in the teaching portion of this and in this question and answer thing and say this. Okay. All right. What I have right here, I'm going to tell you this. Like, I have a Starbucks, and on this Starbucks is a mermaid that has two tails.
Siren.
It doesn't have one tail. It has two tails. Everybody needs to look up what is a siren. What is a siren that has two tails? And you guys ought to look it up when you guys get it. It's so demonic. It's a big time demonic thing. We're not one with one tail, but one with two tails. Okay. And we'll get off into that. So what about the whole underwater thing? All right, let's go back to what we were talking about on Monday and also what we were talking about yesterday. Is one of the challenges that we have as Western Christians is understanding that there's a myriad of species within heavenly beings. And what I submitted yesterday was that I would suggest that within the demonic realm, what you and I would call the demonic realm, there's even more varied of species because they crossbreed with natural things, which is known as the Nephilim line. And there's no telling how they're going to manifest. Like, yeah, but they don't crossbreed with anything fish. The Word of God says that they do. Mm-hmm. The Word of God says that all the earth was corrupted. And the Bible says that all of the earth was corrupted, and it says the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, talks about plant life, the animals of the field. They literally wanted to contaminate the DNA of anything that God Almighty had created, and that was pre-flood. And then it says, and afterward, so it happened again. There was another incursion. So I'm not surprised that people see. And that there are not all of these quote unquote fables of things all over the world. It's like whenever Christopher Columbus came to the Americas, he said that he saw quote unquote mermaids, and he said, you know, they weren't good looking. I always heard that they were beautiful. He goes, they really weren't that good looking. If you guys were to do some a little bit of research, there's a guy on the East Coast that he has got this amazing video where while they're out there fishing, he hears somebody crying for help out in the ocean, and then he gets it on the video. And then these things start showing up to him all the time. So I'd be like, no, wow. I'm not going to say that all that is fake. What I'm going to say is, this is not the question. The question is not, do these things exist? Because as soon as you say no, none of those things exist. As soon as you say no, you're setting yourself up for a paradigm shift that's going to rock your faith. Because biblically, and certainly historically, there is this huge account for such things, and certainly biblically as well. But all you have to know is this: if one person is right, then the entire paradigm shifts. So it's not have these things ever existed? Yeah, Nephilim can definitely be in fish, the same as they can be in animals, the same as they can be in humans. Absolutely, 10,000%. The question is: are they of God's camp, or are they not of God's camp? Mm. That is the question. And it's the same thing when Jesus says that you will see fearful sights and signs in the heavens. When we're talking about signs in the heavens as well, we're talking about fearful sights, which is phobotra, the Greek word phobotra, which means scary monsters. That's what that actually means. And then he says, and signs in the heavens, or scary signs in the heavens. When you start seeing things happen in the heavens, the question is not, you know, can anything show up within any of these realms? The question is it of God's camp, or is it not, or is it not of God's camp? And that's the question that we should be asking every time we come across these kinds of things. So without going, I'm not going to tell the story because I have too many wild stories out there this week. I'm not going to tell it, but I've had a little run in with some things in the water, and also got it on video. So you guys have seen the video.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You guys have actually seen the video. Maybe one of these days I'll do that. I need to get everybody used to me saying that I saw a giant in Southern
Mexico. We're still talking about giants.
And then we'll move over to succubus mermaids.
To mermaids.
Yeah, the whole succubus class of the demonic realm is literally where vampires come from. The whole thing of Lilith, the category of Lilith, if you guys do a study on Lilith. All that kind of stuff. Or even in Psalms 91, which says the terror by night, that is a translation that says terror by night. But in the Hebrew, it actually is the name of a demon. It is, and it is a female class demon.
Oh, wow. Is it really?
Yeah, it's a hag. It's like a vampire.
Wow.
And so it's something that the Hebrews were real scared of. Wow. And it falls into the whole Lilith category. So, yeah. And so you guys, again, look all that up. Do your own research on it. Look it all up because it's all out there. Or not. So, yeah, no, I'm not surprised that people see things in the ocean. You know, you're isolated. You're out there in the middle of nowhere. The ocean is so vast. And, yeah, you know, there's some crazy things. Like, everybody knows that, so you've seen the movie 300, and then the one that followed after that, you know, Leonidas out there in the whole nine yards, and which is huge on my bucket list to go to that place. And I want to go there, and I want to go where the million Persians fought the 300. I want to go there. All right, with that said, one of the things that Xerxes did, and Xerxes, which, by the way, is very, in the second movie, he's completely Nephilim. He changes. He goes into a baptism, and he comes out a giant, and he calls himself a god. So he changed the way that Nimrod changed, right? Mm-hmm. And I would just tell everybody, that's Esther's husband.
Yeah.
And everybody thinks that Esther's husband is this really good dude. No. No. He is a Persian godlike king who is a monster who at any whim can kill anybody and do any horrible thing at any given moment. And that's the hell that's the hell that Esther went through.
Yeah, I mean, he was basically like putting on a human trafficking parade.
Yes.
And that's when he selected Esther because his wife at the time refused to be paraded naked in front of all his guests.
That's exactly right.
So he kicked her out. And then, you know, we growing up, obviously as a kid, you get the kid version. Yeah. Right. And it's like a beauty pageant and you're like, wow.
And then you learn that wasn't a beauty pageant.
Yeah.
It wasn't a beauty pageant.
Now they underwent all these treatments to beautify themselves, but she was a young virgin girl who was saving herself, who had served the Lord, followed the Lord all her life. And I'm sure the last thing she thought the Lord was saving her was for that, for him.
Yeah, but to be a part of his big sexual slave show.
Literally. But God still used it, which is amazing.
And God still used it,
which
is amazing. Yeah, that's exactly right. Used it to save the whole nation.
Yeah.
To save the whole nation.
I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for that, so...
Well,
that's cool.
The world would be a lesser place without you.
Oh,
that is absolutely true. Thank you, Esther.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing our friend.
Thank you, Shay.
I'm going to have to support her ministry and send her a check.
Yeah.
That's outstanding. So the G version is that it was a beauty contest, but it actually wasn't a beauty contest, and it was all about being a part of a harem.
Yeah.
And so this was the brutal world. And so Xerxes is not a good dude, man. He's not a good dude. But what I was going to say is one of the things that Xerxes did whenever, because he went into a league with Poseidon. So he made a pact with the god Poseidon, the god of the sea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And whenever they lost, because they brought in all these fleets of ships, this terrible storm came in and all of his ships sank. He forced his guys, everybody take a whip, and they went out and they beat the sea with whips to chastise the god of the sea.
Gosh.
And that's actually in that movie, by the way, as well.
Is it real?
He's
movie?
Out there with a... And he's
Leonidas,
out there.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't Leonidas. It was Xerxes. And so...
Oh. No, the movie.
No, the movie's not... It's 300.
That was 300?
Are you guys with me? So you got 300, the first one and the second one.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Come on, man. Keep up, buddy. Keep up.
Chris is like, I'm going home.
So, the first movie and you had a second movie. And so, they actually show that. Well, that's true. They actually did that. And there's been different people. There's been Roman generals that caused, I want everybody to go out here. And as a prophetic act, we're going to take whips and we're all going to beat the sea.
Wow.
Because they believed so much within those gods and they understood the power of prophetic acts. So, yeah, that's pretty daggum crazy.
Wow. Yeah. That is wild.
That is, yeah.
So, no, I'm not going to tell my story.
It's okay. We can save them for another time because we got to give some space between your blurry creature's appearances. If they hear that you saw a mermaid, they're going to want you back on the show.
Yeah. So. That would be amazing.
I talked to them this morning.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. So, those guys from Blurry Creatures, they're about to go to Mexico with me.
Are they?
Cool. Yeah, we'll take them.
Pastor, that's awesome.
And by the way, guys, I want to tell you, we're being honored by the Department of Homeland Security here within the United States for all of our rescues on the border. And the whole Tom Holman bunch is going down to Mexico City. They're doing a big diplomatic thing. And then they're also coming to our homes and visiting our homes. So while
that's
we're
there. Amazing.
So, yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yay. That is cool. Mm. I love that. All right. So you guys got to have another.
Yeah. I'm gonna go watch you go, Rebecca.
So we got Julie. Did we miss anything that happened after the planetary parade this past week?
Wow, right on. Do we know what day of the week that was?
Let me look up our Heavenly Happenings video.
Yeah. So what day? Shameless plug for Heavenly Happenings. Yeah. Look that up. Look up what day, and then look up the news and see if anything wild happened. Yeah. See if anything wild happened on that day. That's a good one. What's another question you guys have?
Tuesday.
So the question we have from Mark, and he is spamming it in chat last 2 days. He wants to know if there were female Nephilim.
Okay, man, that's a great question. That is an excellent question. Yeah. I think that's a totally legit question. Are there female Nephilim?
I have no idea. I would think there would be.
There's not an account biblically that I'm aware of female Nephilim, except for, like I say, the Lilith category. Mm. Those things are female. Within the whole demonic realm, like anytime you see like the statue of Satan, like if you go to Luciferian church, there's a statue of Satan. He's sitting on a throne. He's got one hand up. He's got another hand down, which means a finger up and a finger down means as above, so below, which means I'm a god in that realm. I will be a god within this realm. You also see that on Masonic things all over, as above, so below. You also see there's two children at his knees. There's two children at his knees. And then if you look at him, he's both male and female. So Lucifer is portrayed as a male having breasts. Now, that might also be a picture of me without my shirt on.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I'm working on that.
Yeah,
I'm working on that. I'm trying to lose weight, man. You guys pray for me. I'm trying really hard. So, that's funny. Don't you think I'm funny?
You're on a roll today. They're commenting.
That's my show, dadgummit. I'm not on somebody else's show where I got to mind my P's and Q's.
And you can wear your hat here.
And I can wear my hat. That is true. Here's what I would say to that. I would also say that definitely within Nephilim bloodlines, there's male and female within the bloodlines. I don't know of any biblical account of any female Nephilim, but I don't know why there wouldn't be. I don't know that there's something that says that they all have to be male. And so I don't know why, but that is a great question, though. That's an excellent question. I've never had anybody ask me that before. I mean, you know, yeah, the more I think about it, like, no, there has to be. There has to be female. It's like, okay, so you got the first generation. You have female women, and then you have these angelic beings, these celestial beings that are male, and they have male DNA, and they combine with women. But they have multiple generations after that. They have multiple generations, and they manifest all different kinds of ways. So, yeah.
Certainly possible.
Yeah. Interesting.
That's very good. All right.
Somebody just asked. Now, this just seems such an odd question, which I skipped over an odd question
the other
last
day,
time.
And you were like, that's a good one. Yeah.
Have you ever been attacked by a rose bush?
No.
Is that a thing? What in the world is that?
I have no idea what that person. Weirdo. Hey, listen.
We are serious theologians
on this show. So I will tell you, I have been attacked in a rose bush, and what happened was, I was a sophomore in high school. And I was dating this girl who was a junior in high school, and she was really pretty. And I decided I needed some flowers, and I knew where this guy had this awesome rose bush. And so I parked my truck, and I snuck down, and I was cutting off all of his roses. And the guy came out, and we got in a fight. And he was probably in his 40s, and he was tough. And he beat the living snot out of me. He tore my shirt off of me. We were fighting like that on the ground. I mean, we were fighting. And it's like, you gonna steal my roses? I'll beat you. And the guy beat me
That's
up.
Hilarious.
And so I had to cancel my date. I had no roses. I had no shirt. I had no pride. I was all beat up.
Well, was it Jimmy Pitts? Because that's who asked the question.
Jimmy Pitts. That he knows that story.
That's amazing.
You should have told me it was Jimmy Pitts.
Oh. That's hilarious.
He knows that story.
That is so funny.
That's so funny. Okay. He knows that story, Jimmy, because I grew up with Jimmy.
That's amazing.
That's so funny. Yeah. All right. So you got a question?
Yes. So we got Bruh W. Is Michael the head of Heaven's army and the main protector of Israel?
Yeah, I would say that. I would say that Michael is all about Israel. I would say that. And I would also say, as an archangel, okay, as an archangel, he also has a leadership role in the, from what I can see, from the and the military side of the angelic beings. So that's a great question. But yeah, you see him always associated with Israel as well. So you need to know that there are regional deities that are fallen, holy and there's holy and there's also unholy and fallen angels as well. And so, you know, the Prince of Persia. So they're in their tent. They tend to be known as princes, right on. They tend to be known as princes. And so one of the things that everybody misses whenever they see that scripture where he says, hey, Gabriel is doing all the splaining Lucy because, you know, he's the talker and Michael is not the talker. Michael is the one that shows up and says, yeah, the Lord rebuke you. I got nothing to tell you. He's like Wyatt Earp. He doesn't talk very much. He just show up and shoot you. But Gabriel is definitely the talker. And he's like, look, man, I've been trying to get here for 21 days. Which, by the way, the whole 21-day thing, man, in the Middle East, 21 days is a holy number because it's a gestation period of an egg. Okay, so that's like a big thing to those that will within that culture, 21 days.
Really?
And so he shows up, he said, look, 21 days, man, I've been trying to get this thing hatched, but I haven't been able to because I was withstood by the Prince of Persia. And he said, I had to get Michael to come. He took care of business. He says, now I'm here. He said, but you need to know this. After we deal with the Prince of Persia, the Prince of Greece is going to show up. And he was like, that's a big deal. Like the Prince of Greece is like literally the devil himself. And so, and by the way, he's always represented by an eagle. So that spirit that was the Prince of Greece, whenever the Western world invaded this part, an eagle was a part of our flag as well, or part of our symbol as well. It was the Roman Empire's big symbol. So it goes from Greece to Roman. So yeah, it's invaded a lot of turf throughout the world.
All right. Question we had from the beginning, this question came in early. And this is from Elena. She asked, is it all right to be cremated as a Christian?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, and I know that really concerns a lot of people
Why? I didn't even know people were concerned about that.
Oh no, there's a lot of people think, and that is so pagan.
Really?
Yeah, that you can't do that.
I think it's Catholicism that teaches that heavily, right?
Okay.
It may be. I don't know.
I didn't even know that. I never knew that.
So what I would say is this, you know, look, the plan is for everything to go back to dust. That is the plan. And that can happen at an accelerated pace where you torch it and you turn it up, or that can happen over a period of a long time, but you will go back to dust. You will. And so to me, the idea like, well, yeah, but like all the Viking hordes and whatnot, that's how they did. You know, they did these big, you know, funerals with fire and all that kind of stuff. And we shouldn't be a part of that. Well, then don't, but you can still be cremated. So, you know, whether you're, you could use the same argument for embalming people and say, well, that's an Egyptian funeral. It's not an Egyptian funeral. That's ridiculous to embalm somebody. It's not. And so I, you know, because funerals are so expensive now, and because it costs, you know, between $10,000 and $20,000 to be able to do a funeral now. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't just have that money sitting in their closet and nobody plans for a funeral. A lot of people are using the option now, you know, to be able to cremate, and it really worries people. Like, am I stepping out on the Lord, you know, and doing this, you know, and, does that mean that, you know, something bad? No, I really don't think so, friends. I really don't. I think that in the midst of your grief, and by the way, to have to make hard decisions in your worst time of grieving, is very difficult for anybody to do, but I would just say, you know, whatever works best for you and for your family, you know, is the best thing to do. My daddy was cremated, my daddy was cremated, and that was his. I wouldn't have picked that for him. I wanted to have a big, huge place for him. So I built a place on my property and buried daddy's ashes and had this big monument made for him. And I did that as well. And that is cool, man, to be able to do that. But, yeah, so I think I've answered that question. I think so. Anybody else have any other questions about that?
Okay. Can you explain more what the gospel of the kingdom is, like the gospel of the kingdom for dummies level? Been a Christian since I was 5, but never heard it taught.
That's a good one.
I want to tell you, man, it's everything.
Yeah.
It's a big deal that has been dismissed by the Western Christian church. So everywhere we go all over the world, he doesn't say, and this gospel of salvation shall be preached in all the world. What he says is, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached. And so there is, you know, the gospel of Jesus Christ includes lots of different things, but it certainly includes the plan of salvation. But I want to just stop and I want to just tell you, if you look at what Jesus taught, he spends one conversation telling him that he needs to be born again. Everybody else, he shows in the kingdom. Everybody. One guy, Nicodemus. Why? Because he was a brilliant theologian. And he's like, okay, well, you want to talk theology, then I'll talk theology with you. And please don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we shouldn't teach that people need to be saved, because they do. And we certainly see that. And I teach that and all that kind of stuff. But you don't want to miss the kingdom. You don't want to miss the kingdom, man. And with the package of the kingdom comes salvation. Sadly, there's been a lot of people who have been saved that didn't get the package of the kingdom. And we've reversed it because, again, of Western Christianity and because of our Western myopic view of what Christianity is, which excludes everything Jewish, which excludes everything Middle Eastern, which excludes all of the traditions and also, too, all the history that the writers of the Bible thought that anybody that reads this will know the history.
Yeah.
And so when Jesus showed up, he preached the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom. The kingdom is any place where the king has dominion. And there's no such thing as the kingdom without a territory and without a governance. So this is why we get off into bad things like, I'm just going to say this and make a lot of people mad, but you get off into the 5 points of Calvinism and you draw a line in the sand right there. Number one, you're going to be one of the meanest and hatefulest people that we know, and you'll be worthless to all the rest of us, and we need you in with the rest of us. But you'll be like, no, because one of my 5 points of Calvinism is going to be predestination and whatever God wants. God always gets his will. God is sovereign. He always gets his will. That's not... See, the preaching of the kingdom is, this is what it looks like when God does get his way.
Right. Mm.
Okay, so what that says is that God is not getting his way. So if you're going to bring the kingdom, God is going to get his way. So it's like, okay, well, that rocks our Western theology. Wait a minute, are you saying that God is not sovereign? No, God is ultimately sovereign in all things. He's ultimately sovereign, but he has given us, he's put us in this bubble of this space-time continuum where things can go any way, and he does that for the purposes of redemption. So the reason why, and it's like, okay, you got this big time problem, like the question of evil. If God is good, then why are there bad things? Why do bad things happen? Okay. Actually, when people ask that question, they don't know it. But what they're actually asking is, if God is in control of everything, then why do bad things happen?
Yeah.
Because the premise of that is based upon, I believe that God is in control of all things. You're saying he's good, but yet bad things happen. God is not in control of all things. He is ultimately in control of all things. As far as the sovereign will of God goes, like, okay, Jesus is coming back, and there's not anything anybody can do about it. Nothing.
100%.
Okay? But there's a million things that can happen even within this conversation that can go this way or that way. And it has to do with if we're yielded to God's will or not. And that will is not his sovereign will. It is his heart's desire will.
Yeah.
Okay? So it's more like wish. Okay? Thy will be done. Mm-hmm. That word there can also be translated as wish. Your wishes be done on this earth the way it is in heaven.
It is.
Yeah.
So it's not like there's sovereign. If God got his way in everything, then why would we be praying that he gets his way in everything? Yeah.
And it eliminates our free will, too.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So, again, for the purposes of redemption. So in a redemptive process, it's like extremely, extremely radically relational. So So here's how it works, okay? Jesus comes to Troy Brewer, and Troy Brewer is 19 years old. Troy Brewer is a train wreck. Troy Brewer needs to have an encounter with Jesus, and he needs to be born again. Boom, it happened. Now, here's the deal. He still dips snuff. He still cusses like a sailor. He's still mad over things that happened within his youth. He still is this, that. Okay, well, then the argument would be, and the same kind of argument is, if you're saved, then how come you still do bad things? How come there's still bad things within your life? Well, there's a relational process now that I got to go through. And in order to find the heart of Jesus, and in order for me to yield the heart of Jesus, I have to be in an environment where bad things can still happen so that I can have the chance to be redeemed.
That's right.
And so, yeah. So I'm like, okay, so the day will come where Jesus will come back and we're going to be done with all these variables. Okay, but we live in a time and in a place of variables where what's real is God is banking on us, and the fact that God would include humanity in his plan, God's plan is always humanity. That's God's way. Okay, I was talking to Pastor Dave Bryan this morning on the way in, and Dave, we were talking about this same thing, and Dave said, that just tells you how confident that God is in himself to include you in everything.
Yeah.
He's like, all right, I'm going to give you room to mess up, but I can still handle it.
And that's why the demons hate us so much.
That's exactly right. Because they don't have
redemption.
They don't have any leeway in messing up.
Yeah.
They are either 100% loyal or they are not.
Yeah.
And they're like, it's so not fair. You let them get away literally with murder.
Yeah.
And they're like, you won't let us get away with anything. This is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they hate us. Too bad, so sad. That's what you get for being a bunch of sniveling punk, cosmic punk lawyers. That's what you get.
They're a bunch of cosmic
punk lawyers. That's what they all are. Amen.
I love it.
Well, it just shows you, and God creating the universe and creating us as a species, we know, as we're all married, it's so much better when the person that you love chooses you back. And then the beauty that is created in that relationship, the same is true with God. He created us, and now we love him back. That sets us apart from everybody else, and we choose to love him back.
Amen. Well, there is no religion, there is no religious expression, there has never been another little g God that has ever showed up and said, I will substitute myself for you.
I will give it for you.
That only happens with Jesus.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen anywhere else. Dang sure it doesn't happen with the child molester Muhammad. I promise you. It doesn't happen with him. It doesn't happen with the Hindus. It doesn't happen with the myriad of gods. It only happens with Jesus, where Jesus shows up and says, I'm going to substitute me. And by the way, I'm perfect, but I value you so much that I will substitute me for you. And what we learn through this process, and we must live in an environment where a process can work, so we have to live in a place where bad things happen.
Yeah.
It's for us. The reason why bad things happen is not because of God, it's because of us. If we would get our act together, we wouldn't have to have an environment where bad things happen.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a relational plan. So I want to tell everybody that's watching right now, if you have not come to Jesus as a child, come before him as a child and just come to him. And why are you stepping on my toe?
I'm sorry,
for?
I'm stretching my legs. I'm sorry.
I keep thinking there's like a cat under my...
I'm sorry.
I would say come to Jesus as a child and come before him and say, okay, I think I know how everything works. I don't know how everything works. And I've got all these bad things have happened to me, and I've done shameful things, and I've got this and that, and I've got this and that within my life. Just come before him as a child and say, do you really love me like that? Do you really and truly just love me like that? That you would put up with me being so messed up? And let me tell you what he'll say to you. He'll say, yes. And then you're going to have to believe that because you're not going to find anybody else like him, and you're not going to find anybody else that's offering that anywhere. He loves you that much. I know, that's a great question.
Yeah.
I love that question. And I hope that helps. Who was it who asked that?
Oh, let me go back. We've had so many. Okay.
It's okay.
I can't find it now because we've scrolled.
I think it was Fred Sanford. Fred, tell your boy Lamont we love him.
We got a message back from Bill. He's the one who asked about cremation. He said, thank you for answering my question. I have had to do, I've had to deal with this since my daughter in 2020, and I've been tormented ever since.
Wow.
I had to do it because of the cost of it.
Yeah.
Thank you. This gives me peace.
Wow. Brother, listen, good.
Man, brother, be set free. Be set free, Bill. And by the way, we're so sorry, man, that you lost your daughter. We're so sorry. And then, man, to have that extra torment of maybe I didn't honor God and maybe I even put her soul in jeopardy somehow. Mm. Man, that's just not true. And I promise you, man, the Lord is not the one that told you that. And so that just comes from the traditions of men and comes from a bunch of mess. And I bless you. And I'm sorry, but be set free. Mm. Today is the day that you're set free of that. Mm. Listen, if you hadn't had her cremated, you would have put her in the ground. And then through the process of time, she would have turned to dust. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's like, you know, it's all about, you know, we all return back to the dust. We all do. And then Jesus, whenever he shows up, it doesn't matter if you're cremated or if you were like Jacob and you were embalmed, right? You know, Joseph was embalmed. Jacob was embalmed. Joseph was embalmed. Joseph was still around. I mean, he was literally, he went through an Egyptian burial. I mean, it was a real Egyptian ceremony. That's what he went through. And he was still, his body was still around 400 years later, and they carried him off into the promised land. Or, you know, if whatever, what if somebody's buried at sea? You know, how does that, okay, all those semantics are not the thing that is important. What is important is that you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is what is important, my friend. Awesome.
So good. You want another one?
Yeah,
we'll do one. Okay, cool. So we have Elena, she asked, she said, This is a big one. My husband has a Leviathan spirit. God has led me to have a gentle and quiet spirit. I want to be sure I'm doing God's will. Do I say anything to my husband, speaking truth in love, or stay quiet? Oh. That's a big one.
Listen, I want to just tell you, this is where we get into. Troy Brewer is the worst marriage counselor on the planet Earth. There's not a worse marriage counselor than me. And I'm serious. I'm horrible.
Why do you say that?
Because you guys have a great marriage.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, no, I have a great marriage. I have a rock star marriage. Just some people are just too stupid to be married is why. And so you got a husband that you're not allowed to speak. Do you know how Leanna would put up with that? She'd take a ball bat to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I don't know how it works in your house. Okay. And like, should I just remain quiet? I wouldn't. But you know, that's just me. It's like, if he don't like you talking and if he don't like you confronting the mess that's in his life, you know, rain on him. So again, I'm not a good marriage counselor. I don't understand all that kind of stuff. I just don't. I've been married for 36 years and I dated Leanna for 4 years before that. And I mean, she's just perfect for me. She's perfect in every way for me, and she's put up with me. But I promise you, she's not afraid to confront me on anything. Now, she's got to be wise because I'm a dude. You know, I mean, she could talk into that because there's times, man, she wants to pick a fight and she'll take one look at me and go, no, today's not the day. Well, I think anybody does that in any relationship. That's what you do, you know, even as an employer.
Oh,
like, Shay, I got totally a bunch of stuff one of these days soon that I'm going to bring to you where I'm just like, you're really failing in this area.
Oh,
but today's not the day. Oh.
Today's hopefully not the day. I hope never.
I'm not expecting
that. I
was thinking it could be fun to have a, like a live segment on the podcast. That's like, what would Troy do? And like people write in asking you for advice, because I think, I think some people need in their life the brutal honesty and like, put your big boy pants on,
you do need
in this day and age, everything
you
is
need
so
brutal
like,
honesty yes. in the midst of a loving relationship.
Yes.
So me and Leanna have brutal honesty, but there's not any thought of we're drawing a line in the sand that says if you cross this line, then we're done.
Then we're done. Yeah. Mm.
You know, or we can't have peace or whatever. Mm. Yeah. And man, listen, I hate everybody thinks I love to fight. I do not love to fight. I hate confrontation like anybody else, but I hate being owned by something.
Mm.
Like I can't stand to be owned. I'm a freedom fanatic. So Leanna gives me tons and tons and tons of freedom, but she also is not afraid to tell me, come on, man, what are you doing? Correct. Like, what are you doing? Like, this really bothers me. And I want to tell you this, if Leanna gets to the point, because I know Leanna's heart, and I know how much she loves me, and I know how much she values us getting along. If she's mad and if she's upset, I don't know, like a year ago, she got really mad at me over something and I didn't think it was any big deal. And when I saw how upset she was, I knew it was a big deal. Wow. And she was outside walking around. I went out there and said, "What are you doing? What's going on? Why are you upset?" And she told me because of this issue. And that issue hadn't even come up that day, but this was the day it needed to come out. She had to deal with it. And I was like, "Oh no, she's insane." That's my first thought. You know, I was like, "Oh my God, she's hormonal. Like this has nothing to do with the day we're living in." She goes, "No, I live with this every day.
Wow.
I just don't talk to you about it." And I'm like, "Whoa." I knew right then and right there, I just need to shut up. I just need to listen.
But see, that's wisdom too. That's the other side of
that's
it.
That's a big wisdom.
Because
you know.
Because I want to rescue her same as I want to rescue any other girl, even if I'm rescuing her from me. Because I'm a stupid boy. I got stuff going on that I don't think is any big deal. And I'm a boy.
Yeah.
And that's how boys are. And so I listened to her and she was upset and she went through her list and she told me and I understood. I did not agree. I'm just going to tell you this. I did not agree, but I can tell her I didn't agree. I said, "Listen, let me tell you how this is going to go. You know how this is going to go. I've heard what you said. I'm going to pray about it. And God Almighty is going to speak to me and all this is going to be fine. Do not lose hope." Wow. And I would say that is the thing that I want to say. People do not know how to not lose hope in their marriages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can never lose hope in your marriage ever. Ever, 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 ever.
Yeah.
And if you can't have hope in your marriage, you're done.
Yeah. One of our other people on YouTube here commented, maybe start anointing his pillow with oil. Yeah. I thought that was a good little suggestion.
There's not anything wrong with that. Yeah. Oh, dude, I've found notes in my mattresses where Jesus was proclaiming this scripture and that scripture over me, and she's sticking underneath my mattress. Yeah. She used to do that whenever we were young. I haven't checked in a long time. Makes me wonder if she still does that.
Yeah, you pull back and there's like 30 notes.
Yeah, exactly. Listen, man. No, I was a mess, and I would imagine I was pretty scary at times. I'm talking about being a scary mess, just wondering if I'm going to remain screwed up like this or if I'm going to get worse, whatever those things were. Mm-hmm. And she just had so much patience with me. Wow. She just loved me and she was really good to me. But I can see now that I'm older and we're both older. I actually feel sorry for Leanna when she's in her younger 20s and we first got married because she had nobody. I mean, nobody, man. We lived out in the middle of nowhere and we didn't even have a phone. We didn't have a phone at the house. Yeah. We're out in the middle of nowhere. She had nobody to talk to. And I mean, we were in full-time ministry together. And I mean, I was like the only friend that she had and I was a hot mess. And so she's good. There ain't nobody would have put up with me the way that Leanna has. So that's what I mean when I say I am the worst marriage counselor on the planet Earth. And just in marriage counseling, I'm telling you, right in front of a dude one time, I gave a girl $100. And I said, "Go get a U-Haul and throw all of his crap in this U-Haul. Here's $100 and get him out of your life." I have done that. I promise you I've done that because he's abusive and he's terrible and he's demeaning. He doesn't honor her.
Yeah.
Okay, girls, I honor women?
Yes.
No joke. Straight up honor women. I mean, I don't like
any... And your wife first and foremost.
And I do honor my wife first and foremost. And and that's my girlfriend, man. That's my wife. That is the sure of all things. And people don't have these basic things down. I don't know how anybody could counsel anybody's marriages when they don't have these basic things down. Yeah. You know? My wife deserves a husband that doesn't look at pornography. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm not a eunuch. I mean, you know, I'm a dude. I like all the things that everybody else likes. But, dude, my wife deserves a husband that doesn't lust after other women.
Yeah.
Okay, well, if you don't have those bait, we're like, "Well, but I'm just a dude, so I got to be able to have this kind of stuff or I don't feel like a dude." Okay, well, you're too stupid to be married. You need to be single. Lord, and you can just go be addicted to pornography and fund the trafficking networks that we are saving kids out of because you have no self-control within your life and you're so selfish.
So good.
Like, no. Like, those kinds of things. And so my poor friend's question was, you know, okay, should I say something or should I not say something about it? I would pray about how you listen, because you have a say-so in your marriage. Yeah. And while your job is not to control him... Yeah, and there ain't going to be no controlling him. And I'm going to tell you this, too. There ain't going to be no changing him. Man, that is a high school girl thinks that madness.
Yeah.
Look at there. Somebody just gave $500.
I was just going to write you a note. I know. I was just about to write you a note.
And thank
That's
you.
Awesome.
Thank well, you, Charlotte.
You know, high school girls say, I can change him. I can change him. No, you can change the diapers of the babies that brother puts in you is what you're going to end up doing. Mm-hmm. But you ain't going to change that man whatsoever. It's going to take the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And you're going to have to constantly cultivate that and get a value for it. And, man, that's hard. It's just hard. So there you go.
So Gil Murphy, just to end with that topic, but is divorce an option?
Well, obviously for me and Leanna, divorce is not an option. And because let me tell you, with the so let me talk to you about divorce, if I can just talk to you about this. Man, I'm going to get in trouble for saying
that. I was going to say,
Maybe it's behind the veil.
Let's go behind the veil.
You want to go behind
I want to go behind the veil.
I wonder whoever asked that question, hopefully they're on ODX.
Yeah, Gil Murphy.
I hope that you're on ODX. I hope that you're a partner with us because let me just ask you this. I'm gonna throw this out there. Did God say he would divorce Israel?
I don't.
Okay, you're going to have to look it up.
Think so.
You guys are going to have to look it up. You guys are going to have to look it up. So let me tell you, there is an option. And Jesus talked about Moses for the hardness of your hearts, wrote the letter of divorcement. I want to tell you why Moses wrote a letter of divorcement, because Moses was divorced. That's why. And he had to come up with a legal thing for him to get divorced. Once you see that his wife had to get involved in things that was a man's job to do, and she said, you are a bloody man, and look at what you made me do to my kids. You don't see her anymore. And then later on, and the Bible doesn't say she died. The Bible doesn't say anything. She just disappears. And she's gone. And then after that, it says that he married an Ethiopian. Well, there goes the neighborhood. And then that's why Miriam got in bad trouble. And that's why God Almighty showed up as the friend and said, this is my friend, and I don't like y'all bad-talking him or his new wife. Okay, so then Jesus, we don't have within the canon of Scripture how the divorce happened or what that was all about. But Jesus said, well, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, he had to write out a letter of divorcement. And so I think it was because of the religious people around him that he had to make a divorce decree, what happens and when you're allowed to divorce and when you're not. And I think it probably involved his own house is what – it's just speculation, but I mean
– Oh, the Apostle Paul too.
And the Apostle Paul, you know? Like the Bible doesn't say that the Apostle Paul got divorced, but the Bible said that he was a part of the Sanhedrin, and you had to be married to be a part of the Sanhedrin, and then you don't see his woman anywhere around – because that's not what she signed up for. She didn't sign up for him to be a Yeshua fanatic. She signed up for him to kill people that were Yeshua fanatics. And so she's not on the scene anymore. And I suspect when he talks about the thorn in his side, I bet there was a woman involved in that. It's just been my experience, probably a woman involved in it.
Oh my gosh. Well, do you want to go behind the veil for a little bit?
Yeah, let's go behind the veil.
Okay.
You want to?
Yeah.
Right on.
Let's do it.
Let's do this.
Thank you guys for watching us on episode 68 here on The Pulse. We want to remind you, as you heard at the top of the show, we are in the middle of rescuing a little girl right now. We're believing God for everything, for the rescuers on our side, the home that's going to raise and love her. You can get in the fight by going to just give us a call, 877-413-0888. You can also go to odx.tv or troybrewer.com. You can also snail mail us as well. That is on the screen. We thank you so much for our partners that are helping us rescue, raise, and redeem these children all the world. So thank you guys so much for our partnership, and we will see you guys behind the veil.
Right on. And guys, I'm going to be preaching at Open Door Church tonight. And whenever I do, we should have the news about this little girl. So please be in prayer for her. And I'll see you tonight at Open Door Church. I'll turn it over to you, Shay.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to end. I'm going to toss to you a commercial that tells you a little bit more about what we do. If this is your first time joining us for The Pulse, well, welcome. We're so glad that you're here. We're going to head behind the veil, which means we're going to jump over to our ODX platform, ODX.TV. You're trying to get my shot. He loves to get my shot. He loves
it's mermaid.
With the demonic mermaid. It's get demonic the demonic mermaid out of my shot. But anyway, we're gonna wrap today as we jump over to ODX.TV. So if you wanna keep hearing this conversation, keep being a part of it. I think it's about to get really good. as Pastor Troy dives deeper into this question, this topic of divorce, on ODX. Make sure you head over there if you are not a member and join today. Guys, we will be back here tomorrow.
Leanna does not believe in divorce, but she believes in murder. And she's told me that.
She's told me
that. She's actually said that to me.
That's hilarious.
I don't believe in divorce, but I believe in murder. I do believe in that. So, yeah.
I don't know if I buy that, knowing Pastor Leanna. I just, you know what? She's, I think, going to be here next week. So we're going to have to ask her if these things are true. All of these things you speak of.
Yeah, you know what? We'll ask her version of the story.
Yes, let's do it.
On all different kinds of
things. Yeah.
Which, by the way, you know, we were talking about, I know we got to go behind the veil. It's 2:05. But we were talking about how I got my ranch whenever we were off camera. And whenever I ended up, when I was down there, and I said, bro, this is my place. God Almighty has given me this place, I'm telling you. And he got on the phone, called my banker, and said, you got to loan this guy a bunch of money so he can buy it. He's like, no, I only loan you so much. And they were out there negotiating. It was crazy. She comes walking down with this beautiful old lady. And this is so awesome. This lady comes down, and she's like, oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. So the deal was, where I live out in Glen Rose, you can't get 91.3 FM. And I'm on the radio every day here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area at, I think, at 4:30. I'm on at 11:30, and I think the other time is at 4:30. And I never get to hear the second time because I'm always working. But she comes down, and this was what they had done. Because she loved my ministry so much, she would get her husband to drive her to Granbury for lunch every single day so that they could listen to me on the radio. And she was also wearing a Uganda shirt. They had started a Ugandan ministry in their church because of how Leanna and I had inspired them.
Wow.
That's so cool.
And the Lord had that ranch for me.
Now you're all on their doorstep. Years.
Yeah. That's and then I was crazy. On there, and then they ended up selling me the place, and I got it. And that was in 2016. And just the Lord is so good. I mean, you can't make any of those things happen. I mean, just
that
totally
is good.
Jesus.
That's amazing. All right, guys, we'll continue to answer your questions. I see them. They continue to come in. Jules Hooker, she just asked, you may not be a good marriage counselor, but are you a good matchmaker? We can answer that question behind the veil. Let's find out if Pastor Troy is a good matchmaker behind the veil, guys. But in the meantime, take a look at this.
Human trafficking, the fastest growing international crime network that the world has ever seen. It's not just a global problem. It's our problem, and it's closer than you think. In just 4 years of open borders, our nation became a trafficking superhighway, resulting in over 350,000 kids just vanishing. It's time to say, not on our watch, not on our land, and not to our children. Our team of rescuers has spent the last 30 years rescuing and raising over 11,000 kids here in the U.S. and all over the world. We have over 51 safe homes and more than 4,000 children in our care right now. But we could have 10 times that. We just need your support. Please call now and join our team of rescuers. Call 877-413-0888 or go to troybrewer.com. Get in this fight today, because if we don't show up for these kids, nobody else is coming.